The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, Jesus turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Two times in 3 days, we're going to visit Caesarea Philippi with Jesus and the apostles. Today, as we visit them through the prism of St. Mark's Gospel, and on Saturday, the Feast of the Cheer of St. Peter, which we will look at the longer version from St. Matthew's Gospel. On Saturday, we'll have a chance to talk about Jesus being named by Peter the Messiah and the Son of God, as well as Jesus giving Simon a new name, Rock, and his promise that he will give him the keys of the kingdom of heaven and build his whole church on him. But today I want to focus a little bit on what Jesus said at the end of the gospel, what it means for us. After Peter, moved by God the Father, recognized Jesus to be the long-awaited Messiah, and it took guts finally to say it, to take the real stab, that you're not just one of the other prophets, you're not just like John the Baptist, you are the long-awaited. In St. Matthew's version, he'll also add, not just the Messiah, but far more than the Jews had ever expected, you're the Son of God. Thereafter, after Jesus describes what type of Messiah he will be, not a Messiah who's going to be a professional wrestler banging the heads of Roman soldiers together and annihilating everybody in a battle royale, 1 against 100,000 and over. But rather, Jesus as the Messiah would suffer greatly, be rejected, be killed, and then rise on the third day. Soon as Peter and the others had heard that that was the type of Messiah he was, Peter took Jesus aside from the crowd. Peter now knew something. And he said, "God forbid that this should ever happen to you." And that's when Jesus changed his name again. "Get behind me, Satan." Satan is the one who wants to thwart God's plans. And in that very instant, Peter was playing the role of Satan. That was God's plans for the salvation of the human race. And Peter wanted to be an obstacle rather than a catalyst, rather than a friend, rather than an assistant. And Jesus described where the root of that problem was. "For you are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." It's very important for us to think as God thinks, not just as everybody else does, not as the polls say. Otherwise, we have the risk of playing Satan rather than Christ in the life of others. Tomorrow in the gospel, Jesus will up the ante. He'll say immediately after this, "Unless any of you picks up your cross and follows me, unless what I just said is going to happen to me as the Messiah happens to you, that's the only way you're going to enter into my kingdom. That's the only way you're going to be a disciple." That makes it much more poignant for us. Because when we start to see any of our friends have to bear a cross that can save them, a lot of the times we'll say, "God forbid this should happen to you." when they start saying, why do I have to suffer? Why me? Why me? Why me? We need, with tenderness, to be able to say, why not you? You're a disciple of Jesus. Jesus didn't promise us a teddy bear. He promised us a cross. But it's through that cross that we'll be able to become more like him. A lot of the times we can be Satan in their lives. Yes, your wife abandoned you, and it, to use the technical language, sucks. It's awful. But that doesn't mean you just go out and marry somebody else. You might have to bear that cross together with Jesus, knowing if you do, it might lead even to your abandoning spouse's salvation, for the good of your kids, for the good of the church, whatever. But we need to help others fulfill their vocation, which includes the vocation of suffering, rather than get in the way. To think as God thinks, rather than as human beings do. And to recognize that often the cross, when it's united to Christ, is a caress rather than a burden. The first reading today, we see another contrast between thinking as God thinks and thinking as human beings do. Right now, if Pope Francis were to walk through that door, he wouldn't pay attention to a word that I'm saying, right? You'd all be looking at him and you'd be wondering. If Matt Damon walked through that door, if Celine Dion walked through that door, if Tom Brady walked through that door, we'd all be paying attention. Normally, we'd be really upset if somebody crowded into our pew. But if Tom Brady, or, I don't know, Angelina Jolie, whoever you want to say, wanted to sit right next to you, you'd just say, fine, I'm happy to move over. Right? But if a homeless man came on in, and he stunk a little bit, you'd say, come sit next to Norman. Not next to me. That's what St. James is telling us about today. It was a problem in the church in the early days. It's still a problem. We do play favorites. We do look with human eyes. And we forget the real treasure. We're actually judging when we do that about the value of people. And a lot of the times our judgment's absolutely upside down. If a man with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your church, and a poor person with shabby clothes also comes in, and you pay attention to the one wearing fine clothes and say, sit here, please, while you say to the poor one, stand there. You've made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil designs. When we look with God's eyes rather than with human eyes, we see something special. This is something that Pope Francis, for God, has been trying to teach the entire church. When he celebrated his birthday, who'd he get to celebrate? He could have gotten anybody in the world to celebrate. Could have brought in a party of the cardinals. Could have brought a bunch of people over from Argentina. He had three homeless people with their dog who came to celebrate his birthday on December 17th. Just as Jesus asks, when you throw a party, don't invite those who can repay you. But go out into the byways and invite those who will never be able to repay you. The lying, the blame, the crippled. Pope Francis was precisely doing that because he sees with the type of eyes with which a Christian is supposed to see. When he wrote his beautiful apostolic exhortation, which I know because you're all good Catholics, you've already read, he talks about the treasure that the poor are. That a lot of the times when we look at the really poor, we see someone to whom we need to give a handout. It's hard, he says, for us not to look condescendingly on the needy. You're in need. I have what you need. I'll bend down and I'll give you a little bit of help. Pope Francis was trying to revolutionize the way that we look, and he said, often it's the poor who need to give something to us. It's precisely them who can teach us a real trust in divine providence. It's them who can teach us an incredible faith. It's them who can teach us the real path to happiness, that it doesn't exist in an abundance of possessions, but it exists in the richness that comes from a relationship with God, which is worth more than all the money in the world. Not every poor person is going to teach us this, but many of the poor have been blessed by the Lord with the gift of real spiritual treasure. Pope Francis says that oftentimes when we reach out to give to others, it's them who become our own benefactors. Could give lots of examples of that. I think every one of us, if we've lived or at least tried to live a decent Christian life, have experienced that when we give, we receive far more. That's always the circumstance. A real revolution today, St. James is calling us to, Jesus is calling us to look at things as he sees them, not as human beings do. The classic way that we learn how to do that is here at Mass. Most Catholics will look at what's about to happen here, frankly, just as a piece of holy bread. They don't really look at this as Jesus. Because frankly, if they did, they'd do everything they could to be here. They might not be able to make it, because of other real responsibilities. But if they're driving their kids to school now, or they're already having to work now, their heart would be here. Because if they really believe that it's God and they really love the Lord, why wouldn't they want to come and be with Jesus? For the most part, people look at it as some type of holy bread. Even if you were to ask them a catechism question, is it really Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity? Many of them would say yes, but they just don't really acknowledge that because they really don't see it in their own eyes. This is the great way in which we begin to see with God's own vision. Pope Francis this morning, when he was preaching on this gospel, said, Jesus never said to us, know me. Jesus said to us, follow me. That we get to know Jesus, not by studying about him in a book. We really get to know Jesus by following him to where he is and being with him. That's the way Peter grew to know that Jesus really was the Messiah. And that's the way we too are going to recognize that he not only is the Son of God in his identity, but he is that a Son of God born to save us, Son of God who loves me and gives his life for me, St. Paul would say in his letter to the Galatians. Jesus' verb to Peter at the end of this gospel is really quite important. When he said, get behind me, Satan, Peter was trying to lead the Lord rather than follow the Lord. So Jesus wanted to give him his proper place, to follow him all the way through earth to the new heavens and the new world. Today Jesus looks at each of us with love, as he looked with Peter, and he says, get behind me. Start following me. That's the way you're going to know me. That's the way you're going to start to think like I do. That's the way you're going to be able to see as I see. That's the way you're going to be able to love others, rich or poor, as I do. It's that simple, conceptually. But it's difficult morally. We have to get up from where we are, really go on that exodus to follow Jesus all the way. May we receive that help as Peter did to do so, all the way to Jesus' eternal right side.